Pills, powder, and smoke. Inside the Bloody War on Drugs. Written by Anthony Lowenstein and read by John Derham. Washington has never fought a war on drugs, but it has fought multiple wars fueled by drugs. Controlling drug supply was rarely, if ever, a priority. Understand this, and you get how powerful the drug war has been in the public imagination for over 100 years. Trillions of dollars spent, millions of lives lost, surging drug use and abuse around the world, and apocalyptic violence caused by illicit substances all look like failures. But don't be fooled. This was always the inevitable byproduct of trying to control an industry that's led by the insatiable appetite for drugs in every corner of the globe. From U.S. President Richard Nixon, who unleashed the war on drugs in 1971 and called drug abuse public enemy number one, to President Donald Trump, who called in 2018 for drug dealers to be given the death penalty. This war has been fought across multiple administrations, nations, continents, communities, and generations. It has killed, maimed, enslaved, and imprisoned millions, with the annual global value of drug trafficking worth hundreds of billions of dollars, second only to the illicit industries of pirated goods and counterfeiting. These facts are central to understanding what the drug war has always meant to its architects in Washington, London, Canberra, and beyond. Despite these astronomical figures and lives lost and jailed, there's no sign that drug use has declined. If anything, it's become more ubiquitous and devastating due to the unregulated potency of illicit substances. Organized criminal networks that profit from the misery, and huge state resources dedicated to chasing and targeting all levels of the drug trade. It's been a colossal waste of resources and money, with more than $50 billion US spent annually in the US alone towards fighting a war that will never eradicate drugs from our societies. And yet on and on it goes, year after year. Victory in the traditional sense was never really the point. One of Nixon's key advisers admitted years after he left power that the drug war was designed to neuter domestic opponents of the president. The Nixon campaign in 1968 and the Nixon White House after that had two enemies: the anti-war left and black people, Nixon's domestic policy head John Ehrlichman said. You understand what I'm saying? We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did. It's easy to be cynical about this comment, dismissing the entire drug war as nothing more than government control of minorities through the strong arm of the state. As this book will show, from the US to Honduras to Australia, every country dresses up its rhetoric against drugs in different ways. But the overarching aim is the same, publicly stated with such regularity that it's arguably become the most propagandized message of the modern age. Drugs are bad. Drug takers must be punished. Imprison the weak souls who sell hard drugs. A military-style response is the only answer to crush and control the trade.